In Hollywood, there are five seasons: winter, spring, summer, fall, and awards season. Now the countdown is on as we're just days away from the 95th Academy Awards. Kill yourself some applause, you deserve it. Legendary songwriter Diane Warren is nominated for her 14th competitive Oscar for the original song Applause from the film Tell It Like a Woman. She'll join us to discuss her prolific career. And who will walk away with gold on Oscar night? Do box office hits Top Gun Maverick and Avatar The Way of Water have a chance? Or will Everything Everywhere All at Once walk away with every major award? And the big question, will viewers tune in to watch? We'll be joined by Fox 11 entertainment reporter Amanda Salas and Good Day LA anchor Jen Lommers with their expert analysis and Oscar predictions. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. This is Fox 11 News In Depth. March 12th is Oscar night, the 95th Academy Awards. Back in 1929, the silent war film Wings became the first ever Best Picture winner. Since then, sound and music have become key elements in creating a memorable and impactful film. This year, five compositions are vying for the Best Original Song Oscar. Hold My Hand from Top Gun Maverick. Lift Me Up from Black Panther Wakanda. Natu Natu from RRR. And This Is Life from Everything Everywhere All at Once. And this song right here, Applause from Tell It Like a Woman. Stand up, stand up. Raise your hands up, yeah. Give yourself some applause. You deserve it. Give yourself some respect. Did you notice the pianist in that video? She's a 14-time Academy Award nominee, a songwriting legend, a friend, someone I've known for a long time. Diane Warren, so good to see you again. How are you doing?
Great seeing you. Great seeing you, Hal. Yeah, that piano player. I know her. She's not very good.
I know. I think she's pretty terrific, actually. Sophia Carson sang your nominated song from Applause from the film Tell It Like a Woman. Tell us a little bit about that song and the movie, and tell us what the background was on all of that.
You know, this movie's different because it wasn't one movie. It's, you know, seven movies within one movie, and seven shorts by female directors and actresses from around the world. You know, from Jennifer Hudson to Eva Longoria. You know, so there's lots of stories about women's struggles, and you know, it had to be a song that really, you know, tied it all together. And I you know, give yourself some applause was the perfect message because these women got through all the struggles they went through and they emerged stronger for them. And Sophia was just the perfect artist to do it because when I cast a song for a movie, I mean, when I cast an artist for a movie, they have to be authentic to what that movie is. And the message of the movie is women's stories and strong women and strong women's stories. And Sophia Carson is just an amazingly strong, beautiful woman. Beautiful, obviously, on the outside, but just stunningly beautiful inside as well. And so she was just the perfect artist to get this message across.
And you know, so let me ask you, I mean, you get involved with the project, right? And then yeah. You write the song, and then the film comes out, and then bright and early on the morning of January 25th, you get nominated. And so let's take a look at the moment captured by your friend, Frances Fisher. Let's take a look at this.
Awesome. Applause.
Yeah, Frances is somebody I know as well from Activity of Stag After. But I got to tell you, she's, you know, amazing. What excitement there is there.
Look at Sophia. So first of all, it was the best morning ever. I mean, there's songs from huge movies that didn't get nominated. I mean, Avatar, the song that Weeknd does, some things that you thought would get in that didn't. And here's a small movie, you know, with this song. But the thing is, the song resonated. The message. It's a great message to give yourself some respect and some applause and some love. And I think that's why it it resonated with people because of what it's saying. And that morning was just so amazing. And especially for Sophia, I was so happy for her because she, you know, we don't go to sleep and, you know, wake up, you know, and someone, I mean, at least I don't. I stay up all night and I literally count the seconds, you know, until that announcement. And usually my song is Stand Up for Something Till It Happens to You. They're down the line. And that's nerve wracking too, because this was Applause. So when it got to the category of, you know, best original song, and we heard the of Applause, it was like, oh my God, it was the most beautiful moment.
You know, you never get tired. You never get tired of that. It's happened 13 other times.
Oh my God, no. I don't get tired. I already won, you know, like I always joke that I've lost, you know, 13 times and stuff, and, you know, most likely 14, but I've already won because, like, just getting nominated, you know, is a huge, huge, huge deal.
Because we talk about this every time.
It's true. And the best of the best of the best. The nominees lunch, which is a really great event a couple of weeks ago. You know, I wanted to tell everybody there. You know what? Even if you don't win, the fact is your peers, you know, picked you to be one of only five.
Yeah.
And that in itself is such a win and such a. An amazing show of respect. So it's a beautiful thing.
And it's always so competitive, like the nominees this year for the various films. And in past years, look at that, Pearl Harbor. And we can remember some of the films and the music that went along with that over the years and successes. Yeah. It's a tough competition. I do want to talk. Yeah. I went out with a mutual friend the other night. We were talking over dinner about you. And Bonnie Greenberg was sort of drawing my attention to the notion that you moved into sort of an area of purpose-driven films maybe about 8, 9, 10 years ago and started writing for those. And that did have a kind of a fundamental sort of impact, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of these songs, especially some of these nominated songs, you know, whether it's Till It Happens to You, the song that I wrote that Gaga sings and from The Hunting Ground, or I'll Fight, or, you know, Stand Up for Something especially, you know, which became this huge anthem outside of the movie, and Till It Happens to You, which really was culturally important, that really helped usher in the Me Too movement in a lot of ways because music is so powerful. To Scene from, you know, to last year, you know, Somehow You Do, and this year with Applause from Tell It Like a Woman. These are songs that they're not preachy, but they have good, you know, messages, you know, whether, you know, it was with Scene, you know, that a lot of us don't feel seen, so here's a song, I Want You to Know That You're Seen, or this year with Applause, where, you know, it's just, hey, you know what, we all beat ourselves up a lot, and most of us don't take time just to go, you know what, especially the last few years, what everybody's gone through with the pandemic and everything, that, you know, hey, you know what, you made it, you got through this, you know.
Diane, we got maybe 30 seconds, and there's two things I want to talk about real quick. One of them is that honorary Oscar. Every year it's been like excitement, and then you lose, and it's like a balloon and it deflates, right? But the honorary Oscar, that was a big deal.
That was the best night of my life, and, you know, Cher gave it to me, and I actually found out I was getting the honorary Oscar when Sophia was in doing the vocal for Applause, which was kind of cool. So I gave myself a little applause for a second.
And then the only other thing I want to ask you there is, how you feeling? Are you nervous? Are you excited?
I'm really excited. I'm nervous because this will be the first time that I'll be performing. I'll be performing with Sophia. She's really performing. I'm the piano player. I did that with Laura Pausini a couple of years ago, but that was the pre-show. This is like live. So, like, I just hope I don't screw it up.
So, you won't.
That's what I'm going to try my best not to.
You trust me. You won't mess that up. Diane Warren, always a pleasure. Best of luck to you at the Oscars. And congratulations on another honor. The Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles will be honoring you at their Women's History Month.
How cool
and,
is that?
I'm with her. That'll be March 25th and 26th at the Alex Theater. We'll be watching that. We'll be watching you at the Oscars. Fingers crossed.
Great to see you, Hal.
Okay, good to see you too, Diane. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, has Hollywood's biggest night lost its magic? Our all-star panel breaks it down on a changing industry and how the Oscars can win viewers back. We'll be right back right after this break. Don't go away.
And I hope next year the network will change their mind and put us on again.
94-year-old actor James Hong at the SAG Awards last week, part of the winning ensemble for Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Hong imploring producers of the award show to bring it back to TV in 2024 after this year's ceremony was streamed on YouTube by Netflix. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. The SAG Awards, just one example of a changing industry. Now with days until the Oscars, which in recent years have seen record low ratings, can Hollywood's biggest night reclaim its past magic? I've got an all-star team here to break it all down. Fox 11 entertainment reporter Amanda Salas, and also with us the newest member of the Fox 11 news team, Jen Lommers, who co-anchors Good Day LA in the mornings and at night, serves as a correspondent on Extra. Good to have you both here. And Amanda, let's Amanda, the punster, the punderful woman that she is, yes. She'll be the first one to break into song
let
and go,
yeah. Yeah.
Hooray
for Hollywood. Whoa, let me tip my little tiny top hat to you and our Good Daily DJ. Thank you.
I like
much.
It. I like
Thank
it. You. So last year, 16 million people watched the Oscars ceremony. That's the second worst viewership on record. What's going on here? Are viewers just not interested anymore? How can the Academy bring these ratings back? Amanda, let's start with you.
You know, you're right. Record low ratings. I think we're at a time where we're consuming our content so instantaneously now. We want fast content. I think 3+ hours is a little long
yes.
for these award shows for most people.
Jen?
Yeah, it's the length of the show, and it's also the idea that these shows that are being nominated are so obscure.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen any of the Oscar-nominated movies?
Me? Are you asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
No.
You didn't see, Top Gun Maverick?
I take it back. I saw Top Gun Maverick.
Okay.
But
yeah.
you're in the majority. I
yes.
think that's how a lot of people, especially with a lot of the, there's almost too many platforms for consumption right now. Too many streamers.
That's right.
And not everyone's subscribed to everything. So you have this array of movies that just people aren't watching
yeah.
anymore. The movies that people are watching are not even getting nominated.
She's right. They are.
You know, we can argue that the pandemic made a big change in how things are done. And it used to be on what we consider the mainstream network stations.
Mm-hmm.
And now Netflix has it. What a fundamental change that was for the SAG Awards, right? So let me just ask you, as we look forward to next week and the Oscars, Oscars so white, do we still have issues with diversity?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. The director category alone, there's no females in that category. I think Oscars so white, also Oscars so male in a lot of categories.
Yeah. Yeah, no black leads and directors in this nomination list this year. And no actors of color broke into the lead actor category. No women nominated for best director either.
You know, one can always argue that, well, talent is talent, regardless of what color you might be or what religion you might be or whatever you might happen to be. But they know they're going to get this kind of criticism, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Talent is talent, but is it fair to say that the only two Latinas that have won Oscars in the past 90 years are Rita Moreno and Ariana DeBose for the same role in the same film? Clearly, there's more talent than that.
Now, you were backstage. What was it like backstage for you there at the SAG Awards? And what do you think it'll be like backstage at the Oscars?
It's not what you think. I mean, you think there's some glamour involved because people are walking by with their beautiful gowns and outfits and all the cameras. But really, you know this.
Mm-hmm.
You are right up against each other like
mm-hmm.
this.
Just like that.
And
shoulder to shoulder.
Just trying to get any kind of celebrity who comes by. The after parties are even worse than that.
I've been there. I know
oh,
what
yeah.
you're talking
Vanity
about.
Oh, yeah. Vanity Fair, especially last year after the slap, the Will Smith, Chris Rock slap. I was at the Vanity Fair party.
Mm-hmm.
You
Same.
Were there, too.
I was there, too.
Nobody wanted to talk to us
no.
on the carpet.
Really?
Yeah. That
oh,
was
yeah,
tough.
Because they knew what kinds of questions were coming. And nobody wanted to get involved in that kind of conversation.
It's true.
All right. Well, you know, as we talk about these sort of things, let me sort of put you on pause for a second because we're going to have you in the next segment where we're going to take some of your predictions.
Okay.
Figure out who you think is going to do the winning next week. And Fox 11 News In Depth will continue on the other side of the break as we talk about next week's Oscars and the movies that are up for the gold. Be right back.
Hey, right for Hollywood.
Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, Amanda Salas, and Jen Lommers joining us.
Yay.
All-star review team here when it comes to the Oscars. Look, let's do a little rapid-fire thing here and talk about what your predictions and your picks are.
Top prize of the night for the top hat. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once.
That's the top prize of the night.
Top prize.
And so when we talk, you agree?
Yep, we are in full agreement.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about best, let's see, best actor?
Best actor, I say, well, go ahead.
Austin Butler.
Oh, I say Brendan Fraser for The Whale.
Okay, Austin Butler, because he performed Elvis in such an amazing way.
He became Elvis, basically.
He became Elvis, and Fraser.
And I say Brendan Fraser because this role was transformative for him. This is his time. I do agree that Austin Butler, close second, but I think he's still a little new to the scene, and they're going to pay tribute to Brendan Fraser.
You know, I'm always amazed, and you know, it's quite an incredible skill to blow your body up or to make it skinny or to do something. I think Jake LaMotta's story, Raging Bull, Robert De Niro got himself heavy in order to play that part. That's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah, look at Christian Bale. We were talking about
Christian Bale,
The Machinist.
That's very
difficult. Matthew McConaughey, Dallas Buyers Club.
Yes.
That's a very difficult thing to do. It's one thing to play the part. It's another thing to look the part. And that can be very challenging. Okay, Jen, best actress.
Best actress, Cate Blanchett for Tar, even though I had to use a dictionary to watch that movie. It's not easy getting through it.
She's
right. But she was phenomenal.
You know, I guess the question is sometimes you get people like these actors here. It's the only thing that the movie gets. I haven't seen Tar nominated for anything else, but that acting performance is so powerful and so strong, it rises to the top.
A lot of monologues,
yeah.
A lot of monologues. Tar getting love in the director's category as well, but I do think Michelle Yeoh is going to take home the gold this
year. You think so?
For Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. Yes. Being that she got the SAG Award is kind of the arrow for me pointing to her getting the Oscar.
Right.
Yeah, but Cate Blanchett won the Critics' Choice Award, so...
SAG Awards are a big predictor, though, of the Oscars.
They are.
That's
you know,
a big
I just let me, since we had Diane Warren on here, any thought about best song? That may be a tough one.
I think it's going to be Rihanna.
You think so?
Lift Me Up. That was a powerful one.
I do, too. It's kind of Rihanna's year.
You think so?
We started the Super Bowl.
And then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting, I think that's a competitive field.
But also, not to RRR movie. I think that's another strong contender as well. Although, I love me some Lady Gaga Top Gun.
Don't we?
So, yeah.
Yeah, Top Gun was pretty remarkable. And, you know, you got to wonder, why doesn't a movie like Top Gun get anywhere? You got an actor who is doing stunts and blowing things away when you watch that screen, a script that's solid.
I'm mad about that.
Yeah.
It's actually a thing that bothers me because the movie did well at the box office, $1.5 billion at the end of 2022, okay? You nominated for Best Picture, but no love for Joseph Kaczynski in the director category and no love for Tom Cruise. Did this plane just fly itself?
In a world where nobody is watching movies anymore in theaters, comes to the rescue, and it's Tom Cruise.
That's right, Jen, and you get somebody like Steven Spielberg, who's the most nominated producer in Oscar history, giving him the most props, saying, you saved Hollywood with these box office numbers. Tom Cruise, I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, and I'm not sorry, he should have been nominated for Best Actor this year.
You agree?
I do agree with that.
Just because
of what he did for the industry.
What movie this past year do you wish would have gotten more attention?
It's a little film called The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
I love that movie. I was
obsessed with it. Nicolas Cage, Pedro Pascal. We both know, we are both big fan favorites of Pedro Pascal.
Yes, we are. Yeah.
He's amazing.
I agree with her. Yeah. It was that dark comedy. And it had me laughing, but also it was deep in a lot of ways.
And you didn't necessarily have to be a fan of Nicolas Cage to appreciate this movie, I will say that.
Yes.
So we alluded to something earlier, and that's that people really haven't been watching these movies a lot. Is it that the content doesn't drive, or is it people are just kind of not wanting to go to the theater?
People don't want to go to the theater anymore. Recreationally, not for work, I can't even tell you when the last time I was at the theater was. I really do think it all has to do with streaming, and it's the convenience of it all. Why go to a theater and risk getting sick on top of that when you could just watch from the comfort of your home?
But you can't see IMAX in your home. You can't watch 3D in your home.
That's why Marvel movies are killing it.
Yeah, and it's escapism, too. The last movie that I went to that wasn't work-related was Megan. I just wanted to laugh, and I wanted this robo doll to do that for me. And I think some of these movies, they are deep in nature, mm-hmm. and some people just don't want to put in a 2.5-3 hour time investment yeah. watching them.
All right, we're just about out of time for the segment.
Speaking of.
Right, how's that on. For a transition, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, as we look forward to next week, what is a final thought?
I hope nobody gets slapped this year.
Me too.
I hope everyone keeps their hands to themselves and we have a nice, classy evening.
And let's keep it under 3 hours, shall we?
Let's keep it under 3 hours.
Well, we got to keep this show under 30 minutes.
So, all right.
good to have you both here. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Al.